Right, everybody, I am Michael James Harmon, and you are in my goddamn basement of sleaze. I've been goaded over the past couple months by a couple friends of the blog, including one of my guest panelists here today, to produce a podcast. Everybody says, you know, you can't have any kind of internet presence without a podcast, so here is the fucking podcast. This is the first episode. We are going to try to do this about once a month. We'll cover a couple movies each episode. I'm good to go. I got my sweet leather jacket on. I've got my stiff cocktail. I just had a smoke. And this evening, I'm going to go a little easy on you. We're not going to get too deep into, graphic on-screen penetration or tits or spurting blood and entrails. Instead, we are looking at a couple of futuristic sports movies. That's right, sports movies. 1983's Lucio Fulci classic, The New Gladiators, and David Peoples' 1989 Australian film, The Blood of Heroes, known elsewhere as Salute of the Jugger. We are going to start with The Blood of Heroes. This is a, again, this is a film by David Peoples, best known as the writer of Blade Runner and its spin-off film Soldier. Here he handles both writing and directing duties. This movie takes place in an unspecified, presumably post-nuke future when the world has gone to shit and entertainment is primarily provided by bands of roving juggers who play a game with a dog skull that needs to be put on a spike within 100 stone throws. The film stars Rutger Hauer as Sallow, the leader of a group of juggers that includes young, enthusiastic Kidda, played by Joan Chen, and Gar, played by Vincent D'Onofrio. Sallow is a disgraced jugger who used to belong to The League, a professional jugging group that operates out of an underground city. Kidda and Gar convince him to return to the city to challenge the reigning jugging champions, not realizing that the game is far more brutal and deadly underground than it is above ground. All right, let's listen to the trailer for The Blood of Heroes and then see what our panelists thought of the movie.
From the screenwriter of Blade Runner comes The Blood of Heroes.
Jugger's coming! Jugger's coming!
Welcome to the future, where the game of Jugger is a way of life and death, where men and women will risk everything to win.
No league team has ever been beaten by a challenge.
Gar said we could play a team from the league.
You think we can do it?
It's impossible.
We're about the best.
What do you know about the league, boy?
And for those left standing on the surface of the earth,
we won't accept the challenge.
The real contest waits below.
We're on a challenge.
Get out of the Red City.
The chance to play the best.
They accepted the challenge!
And survive.
Break his legs, too, for good measure.
Stained with the blood of heroes.
wanted to win.
And win.
The Blood of Heroes, starring Rutger Hauer of The Hitcher and Blade Runner, Joan Chen of The Last Emperor, and Vincent D'Onofrio of Full Metal Jacket. The film Newsday magazine called a dazzling action movie, one of the most original since Road Warrior. Blood makes grade. Brutal, entertaining. The action scenes are numerous and exciting. The New York Post. The Blood of Heroes.
So here we are with our panelists. Let me introduce them. We have Benjamin, Cassandra, Barbara, and Blaze.
Sup, son.
I am going to try to guide things here a little bit and I guess give my own thoughts on the movie. First of all, guys, what an amazing fucking cast, huh?
Yeah.
I liked it.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Josie Packard. Rutger Hauer. Yes, you have Joan, Josie Packard Chen, Vincent D'Onofrio from Full Metal Jacket, TV, well, I can still call it TV's Daredevil, can't I?
I think so.
I'm old
Don't
school,
come on,
I guess.
Babysitter's Dead.
Delroy Lindo from Ransom and Congo, Get Shorty. Hughes Key Byrne from Mad Max, Chain Reaction, and Mad Max Fury Road. Yeah, and everybody is phenomenal in it. The performances are all great. I really like, this is one of those late 80s, early 90s movies that kind of slipped through the cracks, but showed up all the time on TNT and TBS and USA.
Was this like an HBO movie too? They showed a lot.
I think HBO put the VHS out, and it may have shown a shitload of times on HBO. I don't think it got a US theatrical release.
I really wish that extra half an hour was in the DVD.
Yeah. Here in the States, we've gotten a truncated version of the film.
What's the original called again?
Salute of the Jugger, the international cut of the movie, I believe is around half an hour longer. I was going to bring this up, actually. I really, really do like the movie a lot, but it's not without its problems. First of all, yeah, there's a weird kind of jump between Asallo vehemently not wanting to go down into the Undercity and accept the challenge, and then just deciding, all right, fuck it, why not? And we never really get any kind of character moment or any reason for him to do so.
The movie's ruined for me now because I never even really noticed that.
That's what I'm here for.
For some reason.
something else a couple other issues I do have with the movie is that I still don't really know how jugging works. You know, I don't know what each position is allowed to do and not allowed to do. What the
beat
actual
the fuck
rules
out of each
are.
Other?
Well, yeah, that goes without saying, but.
The crazy thing is all three of those guys with the sticks have different names.
Yeah,
like, they do.
And I don't understand. It looks like if you pin somebody, they have to just remain pinned. But can somebody hit the guy who's pinning? And
I don't think they have to remain
Blaze,
pinned.
This is the kind of shit I want to know.
I know.
I don't think they have to remain pinned. I just think it's a good idea if a guy is beating the fuck out of you and you don't have a weapon anymore and you're on your back, to just lie down and not piss him off.
Yeah, but there's no struggle whatsoever.
There is no struggle.
And the timing of stones.
Yeah, the timing of stones.
Yeah, it was brought up while we were watching the movie. What exactly, what does 100 stone throws equate to? What kind of time period can we relate to?
It's the post-apocalyptic future, so I don't think they give a shit about the clock.
Well, maybe not.
One thing I did notice is that the guy throwing the stones doesn't pay attention to what's going on.
Nope, he is
just
only
the
there. So I think he is keeping time. I mean, he is.
It's
he
fairly
is,
consistent.
He is fucking focused on throwing those goddamn stones.
But
so.
That kid had enough time to go run around the inner city and
at
say,
60
yeah. stones.
Barbara.
60 stones.
The fantastic
place. I think.
It's a small city.
Here's the thing. Nobody ever gets past 26. That's the most they went past. And these guys are already at twice as much. That's pretty fucking awesome.
Well, clearly they're awesome.
They have Rutger Hauer looking super awesome, and he gets cooler looking as the movie goes on.
He does. That was something else I was going to bring up that from a dramatic perspective doesn't really sit right with me is that, this was, I'm going to call him Dave, I'm sure he wouldn't mind. This was Dave Peoples' first directorial effort, and he provides some really great visceral action sequences, but he falls a little flat in the drama department. And I thought, and particularly the scene where Rutger Hauer loses his eye, which should have been like a pivotal moment in the movie, it's just kind of another thing. It just kind of comes and goes very, very quickly.
It could have been amazing and bloody and...
But it's done so matter-of-factly, and it really isn't made a big deal of, and... Ben, you're about to...
Do you feel that serves, though, that his entire character is just kind of like, I'm done with this? It's just so... Everything's so matter-of-fact that this is just another thing to him?
It could serve the character. I don't know if it serves the narrative necessarily, though. True. You know, I mean, it... if we had...
go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That could have really, really reinforced the drama of those final matches against the city juggers, knowing really how much it meant that he'd lost his eye. If they'd really sold us on, holy shit, this is a crippling handicap. We're told that, but we're not ever really shown that.
I think we're shown that in the initial part of that fight he has with, what the hell's the big guy's
Gonzo.
Name? Gonzo. And then it's almost like he suckers him in and then just beats him mercilessly.
He does beat the living shit out of him. Blaze, you've had your hand up for quite a while, son. What would you like?
he does, when he gets hit in the eye, he is screaming, and I think they purposely didn't show it, because when he is laying and getting it sewn up, you see him from the side where of the eye that isn't damaged, and it's almost like... Just sew it up. I don't want dirt getting into the hole.
Yep.
He's just such a badass.
He's so badass. Like, he is. This is just another thing for me to, you know, fuck it. I'm still going on. He's like the Energizer fucking bunny.
He is. And something else to keep in mind, too, I'm refuting my own question now, but this is a pretty low-budget movie, you know? I mean,
for a movie that is probably really low-budget, I think...
Well, they got Michael Westmore to do the production and special effects design, though.
They did.
The costumes are amazing.
They
did,
and they got... the costumes are awesome. It looks great. They got David Egbee, who shot Mad Max and later the Riddick movies with David Toohey, was the cinematographer here. It looks awesome.
And this is, what, 5 years after Mad Max, maybe?
10. This was Mad Max was 79.
Road Warrior.
This would have been 7 years or 8 years after Road Warrior, but Egbee didn't shoot Road Warrior. He did do Mad Max, though.
Very similar looking movies, right?
They are.
I haven't seen either in a long time. But
did you think, though, also that one of the things we may have missed as well is...
You mean being cut out?
Yeah, that was cut from the American version. He actually seemed more hurt when they saw the woman that he'd been cast out over.
Yep.
That looked like it was far more of a wound to him than the eye thing.
But she didn't care.
Yeah, she didn't. She was fucking crazy.
No, because bitches be crazy.
Wait,
Booker T?
It was the woman who, like, put her blood on the cheek. Yeah. Is that the same woman?
It's assumed. It isn't made explicit. But she says, is that... And Hughes Key Byrne, whose character's name is Lord Goddamn Vile, says, yes, it is. We're to assume that she's the woman he had an affair with, and Byrne is the guy that he slighted and that had him cast out in the first place.
What I really like about the Gonzo character is he refuses to...
Not going to play dirty.
It's pretty cool that, you know...
There's that weird sportsmanship, too. We see it a couple times. Like, especially when there's the guy with the missing eye that they meet after they beat the shit out of him. And he's all...
It looks like
he's all drunk. It's like it's going to be a fight. And then they just end up laughing and hugging.
They give each other the salute of the jugger.
There's it, but like everywhere they go, and they just beat the living fuck out of each other.
They do that.
And then the inside arm.
Right. They do like handshakes, and they help each other up.
Yeah. It's like this weird kind of brotherhood going on, which I thought made it really interesting as well for such a savage game.
Yeah, the shit talking between the kicks.
Yes.
Are some of the... I'm going to rip your tits off, bitch.
Yeah. But then everybody's just fine afterward.
Right.
Yeah, no, it looks good. I'm not sure who the production designer was on this, but it... I thematically, in general, the movie reminds me a lot of A Boy and His Dog. The dichotomy between the upper and under cities. The kind of scorched earth wasteland above ground and the
original Hunger Games.
No.
I'm not familiar. Sorry.
Really?
I can see where she gets that a little bit.
I read those books. They're really fucking surprisingly good.
I saw that first movie and it was awful.
Read the books. The books are really good. They're like surprisingly, shockingly good.
I thought she's like, the original Hunger Games, and Ben's like, nope.
The movies are...
Meant Dolby.
You know.
Did you read the books, Martin?
No.
The books are really good.
You mean like Harry Potter?
Yeah, they're that good.
Did you finally read those?
Yeah. They're that good.
We were right, weren't we?
Yeah,
The production design reminded me, of all things, of Alien 3 quite a bit. I think this movie did have some influence, despite not being widely seen at the time of its release. This is not the Harry Potter podcast, gentlemen.
So, wow.
Wowie, wow, wow.
Well, and Aliens 3...
Now we really aren't friends, Mike.
Right. And Aliens 3
You can start Cassandra Mayer's Basement of Harry Potter.
That sounds dirty as fuck.
That sounds real dirty.
Yes, it does.
What I enjoy in a movie is the music sequence when a whole lot of stuff happens.
Oh, a montage?
Yeah,
you're talking about a montage.
Yeah,
every movie needs a montage.
Okay, yeah. Talking
even Rocky had a montage.
Talking about the music in this movie, when the quote-unquote opposing team or the bad guys to us have like this boom, boom, and then the tide turns, and then it's like, din. I mean, it's not Lady Hawk music, but it's...
Isn't that Rick Wakeman that did
Lady Hawk? No, I don't know. But Lady Hawk is amazing, but the thing is, Lady Hawk has the weirdest soundtrack.
Rom.
Think of Lady Hawk. It's like, really? Is this the music that they chose? I've always questioned that music.
Well, in the Little House on the Prairie moment.
Oh, yeah.
I would really like to see a post-apocalyptic Little House on the Prairie. I really, really would.
Oh, remember that episode where Pa went and beat the guys because...
That's kind of what The Road is, I suppose.
Yeah.
But
one day I will watch The Road, The Mist, and...
28 Weeks Later.
Jacob's Ladder. All together, just to prove that movies don't depress the shit out of them.
Oh.
I can recommend some really depressing movies if that's your barometer. So.
I watched that movie that was also done by the guy who did Irreversible.
Yeah.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Which one?
With the dad and the daughter?
No,
where
I don't think he ends up having sex
with his daughter. It's just the most depressing movie ever. I think he shoots himself at the end.
Okay.
And, right. And I was just like, oh. Yeah, all right. Whatever. You know.
All right. Well, on that note, let's... would anybody like to say anything else about The Blood of Heroes before we go on to the new Gladiators?
I thought it was good. I really, really liked it.
Good.
I think I'd seen it once when I was younger, like HBO probably.
This was definitely a junior high movie for me, I think, was the first time. Mr. Movies and Eaton Prairie, one love, baby.
Adventures in Video in Brooklyn Park.
Oh.
Show your love. Hey,
did you guys have a video update in Brooklyn Park?
We did, but...
Video update was the shit.
We would drive to Video Warehouse 28 miles away.
Nice.
Wow.
And we would rent piles of movies.
Oh, I would beg my parents to take me to the Panorama in Eden Prairie, which my homeboy Jeremy Balls worked at one time. They had a fantastic horror selection, And I'm told a fantastic porn selection.
I'm told.
hey, Adventures in Video had a fantastic porn selection too. So what year did you see this in? Because I remember
it would have had to be 93, probably. Okay. 90. It would have been a couple years after you did, but I am also significantly younger than you are. So
how old are you? How old are you?
I am 35.
So we get to call shots fired.
So I'm like 20 years younger than you.
Eight fucking years younger.
I'm just kidding.
We had Ben's TV in Princeton, and they didn't care if you were 18 or not. And they were nice. All the radio.
We had a lot of theaters like that around where I grew up. But
my friends all moved to the theater, so
more stringent. Nice.
Yeah, I just went, and then my sister ran it later on. So
cool.
They're like, you want to go watch a movie before it comes out? Yep. All right. Do you want to eat free popcorn? Yep.
I was talking with Chris Martin, who's one of the customers that I hang out with on a frequent occasion. And so he's more than just a customer.
He's a friend.
They say he's just a friend.
He might make eighth level tonight. but... one day he was talking to me and he's like, well, I really love the cinema. And I'm like, what the fuck did you just say? Did you just tell me you love the cinema? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the most pretentious thing.
No, that's all right. You can call it the cinema. You can call it film. You can call them movies, pictures, whatever. Shows, whatever you want to call them.
As long as it's good.
I like making fun of him.
I know.
Just like I heard about this pretentious actor that I used to work with calling it his craft. He works on his craft.
I just like to focus on the craft.
Yes.
All
right.
I see that all the time when I build Legos at the kitchen table. What are you doing tonight? I'm going to work on my craft. All right.
I give this movie like... I love it. I give it like 8, 9 dog skulls.
All right. Barbara?
It's out of 10. I only fell asleep for a second, which is good. So that means this is a good movie.
And you're on pain meds.
And I am on pain meds. So I give this 7 wrist guards.
All right. Cassandra.
There's no way I come with my own rating system.
That's okay.
I will also give it a 7.
All right. Benjamin.
7 pouty Joan Chens.
All right.
I would say that I thought I was going to watch a post-apocalyptic movie, and instead I watched an amazing sports movie. I'd say it's definitely 8 slime fuckers out of 10.
All right. I don't write shit down in the basement of Sleaze, so I'm just going to say, as I often do, recommended. Recommended.
He's so badass, he doesn't rate shit.
All right. Let's go on to the next one. Rome, 2027 AD. On the 2000th anniversary of the erection of the Colosseum, the WBS network is suffering from low ratings. In response... network heads conspire to frame rival network star Drake for murder. They bring him to their top-rated program, Killzone. Joined he is by Abdullah, played by Fred the Hammer Williamson, and Al Cliver from Zombie. Jesus Christ, everybody. Welcome to the goddamn basement of Sleaze. I'm drunk. Here is our second feature for the night. The New Gladiators, directed by Lucio Fulci. Let's see what our panel has to say.
Should we play the trailer first?
Yeah. You know what? Hold on, Ben. Don't even delete that. Yeah, before that, let's play the trailer. Then we'll see what our panel has to say.
job is to teach you to hate. I think it's going to be a pleasure.
I run computers. And it doesn't matter to me if I analyze men or rock samples.
You're in the hate business, Sarah. I can't understand why you people won't let anyone show any mercy on worldwide TV.
What is this for?
It's nothing, Drake. It just keeps track of how you are and where you are. This red light here is you, and the others are your competition.
It comforts me to know that you haven't changed in 7 years, Cortez. You're still a snake.
You, champ, you stupid. Who is going to be the first to fly?
You thrilled to the savage intensity of hand-to-hand combat. Now you're in for another exceptional human contest. The fight to the finish chariot race. 20 perilous laps of no-holds-barred motorized conflict. Death is the penalty for a gladiator who leaves the track or refuses combat. Death will ride with every man as he fights for his life.
Has Cortez ordered any other changes in the official program?
Affirmative.
What changes?
All surviving gladiators to be dematerialized 20 minutes after end of games.
Oh, you're recording already? So, 2027, the new gladiators. Jesus Christ, Ben. Wow, alright. Ben's laughing. I don't know how much I have to say about this movie. It is far from my favorite Fulci film.
Yes.
It's pretty terrible.
It should come as a kid.
No, it's fun. Cassandra.
It's fun. It's still pretty terrible. Yeah.
I felt cheated because we didn't get to see Kim Johansson naked in this film.
Kim Johansson. I thought she looked a lot like Debbie Harry.
Now there was the other lady who died.
The other lady who was like the weird neo-Nazi.
Yeah,
lady.
Who was like, she keeps sticking her nose where it doesn't belong, I'll stick it somewhere else.
Were they not the same character?
No, it was two ladies.
Wow. You've seen this movie!
This is why there's a panel here.
She died in the
He's testing
church.
Us. Yes.
She was okay. the one who got stabbed in the back.
Alright.
And then guy with the fake eye.
Was like, just leave her, the cops will come get her.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
Monk. Comes and gets Scarlett Johansson, and
he does.
Yeah, and you know damn well he was the fucker who killed her.
Of course,
right?
Of course.
I mean,
there was a lot of lens flare in this movie.
Oh, that's God. Why I'm well, saying this.
This was some proto J.J. Abrams bullshit.
Sunglasses and earplugs.
This is what you needed. You needed to watch out if you might have seizures. Because there's a lot of fucking strobe lights in this movie. And there's a lot glare. Of lens flare. I think that's when the light goes right to the camera, which Barb kept on putting up her hand.
Yeah.
Like, oh God.
It's terrible.
Oh God. Sure. It was like being at a concert and them constantly putting the big bright lights on the audience. Fuck you. We don't need to see how many audience
will say
members.
I am impressed at the fact that this film was made 3 years before The Running Man. And
yes.
God knows how many years before the Richard Bachman story upon which The Running Man is based, but the screenwriter of the film The Running Man clearly saw...
But do you think this movie was based on the Bachman?
No. I do think that this that Bachman, that Stephen King, when writing the Bachman novel,
that's a like a short story and a novella.
It's a novella. I think he had he had to have seen this film.
Well, I mean,
no. What? But which came first? This film or the?
This film came first.
Did it? Yeah. Before Running Man?
It did.
Before the story or the movie?
Well, no, because the story has nothing to do with the movie, but this movie has a whole fuck of a lot to do with the Running Man movie. I'm more thinking of the screenwriter of the Running Man movie.
Oh, you're saying the actual Running Man Stephen King story isn't even close to
short. It
has nothing to do with.
So it's like that's like Lawnmower Man, where they took the name
exactly.
And just pupil,
dude. The Running Man ends with some 9/11 bullshit. It ends with Ben Richards crashing a plane into an office building.
Okay, App Pupil is very very close, except for the ending.
Well, and it's really short. It's like nowhere near a movie. It's like maybe a Twilight
Zone. But they made a really good adaption of it.
I will not
Like the end of the movie adaption.
Ooh, better than the book?
Better than him just being on top of a highway.
It's kind of pedophile-y, and it's... I mean, I know you like those Elf Quest comics.
Elf Lord. So, you know. I walked up to...
It is Bryan Singer, so... Yeah.
I walked up to Mike, and I'm like, okay, look at Barry Blair's Elf Lord comics. Doesn't this look like a pedophile dude is doing this? It's all, like, young elf boys and, like, tights and whatever.
By the way, I need every issue of
By the way, I need all these.
For me. Yeah.
That's what I said, like, less
Blaze
than 5 minutes
later. Being Blaze, son.
Oh, my God. And then I realized how bad it sounded. But that series was really good when he started because it wasn't as creepy. Maybe you read it, it's good.
Yeah, I think this is kind of the beginning of the twilight of Fulci's career. I mean, this is certainly
what are his best three?
Oh,
Zombie,
The Beyond, and motherfucking Conquest.
Conquest is special.
I don't care what anyone else says about Conquest. Conquest is an amazing movie.
Conquest is a movie with a barbarian with
stone nunchucks.
And the main antagonist wears a metal mask and is topless the entire time.
It also features a woman being wishboned by some, like, werewolves.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I like to pretend they're gnolls.
And a laser bow and arrow. God, it's so fucking cool. It's so good. Oh, Conquest.
If we had not just done that movie during a podcast,
we would do it again. Yeah,
we
would
have to wait like a year.
Conquest again.
Well, the thing is, the first ever movie-a-thon was Zombie Conquest.
Don't Look Now.
Yep.
And I can't remember. Was that
Battle Beyond the Stars?
I missed like the first two.
Don't Look Now was first.
It was Star Crash.
Star Crash.
But Don't Look Now was first, and we were sober. Yep. And it was just me and Mike. And then it was
as
Zombie, and we really hit it hard.
Yep.
I came in.
Conquest was next. That. We were kind of loaded, but not terrible.
And then Star Crash.
Star Crash.
All bets were
fucked
off.
Yeah, up.
That was.
Star Crash is the We Love Star Wars movie, right?
Yeah.
It is, with Carolyn Monroe.
So I only missed Don't Look Now and the first half of Zombie.
Yeah.
I saw a Zombie when they were burning down the house.
Oh,
Zombie is a great movie.
Zombie is awesome.
Yeah, I have seen it since then. I think you lent it to me, and I watched it.
Do I don't know something, Ben?
Mm-hmm. I do, Barb.
Okay. So, this is a little off subject, but talking about podcasts, I had gone out maybe with David once, twice, and he told me...
Three times a lady?
Yeah. How to tune in to your podcasts that you folks do. And you know what you look like in my head?
Not like this.
No, you had a brown perm.
I had a brown perm would be the greatest thing ever.
Holy fuck.
Imagine that perm.
No, I don't know what Barb's thinking of, but that needs to be a life ambition.
It does. If I've said this all the time. If I could have a fro, I'd never cut my fucking hair.
Because if I close my eyes, I can see you in my head.
Why don't you just let your hair grow out? Like maybe like 6 inches? And
then
you have
somebody
comb your hair. I go crazy.
They were soft curls. They weren't frizzy.
Yeah, soft curls.
Fantastic.
I'm literally going to
have a mohawk tomorrow.
Yeah, he's cut his hair tomorrow, so.
All right. Anybody want to talk any more about the new Gladiators?
Fred Williamson was amazing, as always.
Fred Williams' mustache was particularly amazing. Yeah,
everybody.
The quilted jacket.
The hammer.
That jacket.
The hammer. You know, I mean,
the editing on that film was something to be desired. It was like he didn't even care anymore.
No, and this was towards the end of his career, you know. This came after
the movies you liked?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. He was phoning it in.
Yeah. No, this was definitely a work-for-hire picture.
How many babies would you punch in the face for that jacket?
I 12? Perfect. 14, 16? I don't give a shit.
I'd hold them, as long as you got to share the jacket.
Okay, thank you. No, I will say...
Is this jacket made out of unstable molecules?
Did you see that fucking jacket?
How is he going to wear it, and then you're going to wear
it? We're going to share it. We're going to have shared custody.
Michael
3 days a week, and then 4 days a week.
He's saying how you can have two different sizes.
Yeah. Oh. Unstable molecules.
Yeah,
to figure out how to sew it in my head when I was watching it.
It's possible. I think you'd have to quilt it and then sew it together.
Whatever size you need, I'll still wear it. I don't care.
There could not be two more diametrically opposed body sizes.
If it looks like that, I don't give a shit. All right.
That shit is like makes me want to shoot down bad guys' faces.
So we'll make it big for Mike and medium for you.
Medium.
I can't feel my hands, but this jacket looks sweet.
I was
very surprised at how presciently it predicts the events of the
Fuck
Running
you!
Man.
What does presciently mean?
How much it predicts. It subconsciously predicts the events of the Running Man.
I like how he says how presciently it predicts. So basically you said...
Predicts.
How it predicts.
All right. Blaze is never coming back.
I'm sorry, did I just Jeff you?
No, I really don't care, actually.
I was
probably being a jackass. So
even drunk, Mike knows English better than everyone.
It's all right.
I'm just being pragmatic about it. That was the word that I caught.
Wait, is it? Wouldn't facetious be a better word?
No. Yes, it would. Pragmatic was the word I caught Jeff on, I kept on just sticking the knife in.
I do want to know your definition of pragmatic, but we should probably cut the podcast.
Isn't pragmatic being realistic about a situation? Pretty much.
Yeah, not so much realistic as... What?
For all anybody who actually is listening to this, Mike is sitting here like he's got like a pink eye or a sty in one eye because he hasn't actually opened his left eye in like 15 minutes, and he's kind of got like I'm waiting for him to go. Call us scurvy dogs or something.
Hey, all right.
A patch to come up.
All right. Mike is also drunk, so let's
So
you are making fun of me,
right?
He is
talking to about himself in third person.
Please always do that,
Mike. I think you should talk about yourself in third person as Bizarro, though.
All right,
Mac Molasses.
Mac Molasses probably talks about himself all the time.
Let's end things here.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Basement of Sleaze podcast.
Do you want
to
give ratings really quick?
I don't think it's a good idea for that movie.
I'm gonna give it two Fred Williams mustaches because Fred Williams mustache is in there.
Barbara.
Yeah, I'm gonna give that a negative laser beam.
Alright. Benjamin.
I would give that 2.5 sweet jackets out of 5.
Cassandra.
A medium?
Mediums.
I'm going for two motorcycle explosions out of 10.
There were 3 in the movie. I was counting.
And I myself am giving it a slightly recommended. Okay. Recommended with the appropriate crowd. Right. I think there are folks who will enjoy
appropriate libations.
Well, it's not like we didn't enjoy it. Yes. I mean, there was no man-on-man rape.
We enjoyed its terribleness.
There was no breast mutilation.
Next month,
there was
baby.
No porn.
Next month.
Michael, what is your porn. Drink of... What is your suggested drink for the two films tonight?
My suggested drink is always a stiff Bacardi and Diet Coke. I mean, emphasis on the Bacardi.
I love the fact that he just adds the
lighter
Diet
dark.
Coke.
Yeah.
Lighter dark rum.
Oh, light. Oh, okay. Light okay. Bacardi light rum.
Just making sure. So I got the recipe.
Those TV advertisements where the fucking badass dude who kind of looks like, not Benicio del Toro, but, the guy from No Country for Old Men. What is
his Javier
name?
Bardem.
Yes. Is walking through the burning village, and they're like, for 1,000 generations, the Bacardi family has... It worked on me. All right.
Well, thank you for inviting us to your first
thank you for coming.
I would like to state for the record that I was
some
wearing
heavy
the t-shirt.
Editing.
No editing whatsoever.
Oh yeah, no, there will be editing.
Go to Redbubble, get your Basement of Sleaze merchandise.
Swag.
Please visit me on basementofsleaze.com. There are new entries all the time. I hope you enjoy them. I try to bring a little levity to,
Stop.
Oh, wow.
Say goodnight, David.
And maybe I'm not a podcast kind of guy.
No, you totally are.
Yep, this is great. Because everybody sees how serious you are at first. But once the drinking gets you going,
yes,
then...
Yes, well...
You want to say sign off?
Say goodnight, Michael.
Oh, goodnight, Michael. No, thank you.
No way, goodnight, Michael's the best!
thank you, everybody, for listening to the first entry of the Basement of Sleaze podcast. We will be back 1 month from now with something a little harder, I think.
No tough turf?
maybe.
That doesn't seem Basement of Sleazy.
No, it doesn't.
Although these two movies didn't seem Basement of Sleazy.
Right.
We'll see. I called him up and I said, you know what? I would like a movie with jugging going on.
Oh, yeah?
Ariba?
Oh, yeah.
This ain't no shuffle sound.
No.
Is it over?
Is it over?
It is over. We'll be right back.
same. You can save me everything you say.